Welcome back, draft fans. We have a couple of conundrums because no good deed goes unpunished, and two prospects might have varying degrees of injury recovery that affect their draft stock. We're going to go through that, and you Eagles fans, we're going to get into what you need, where we want to put it, and maybe live down my mock draft. We'll see what happens. Welcome to Locked On NFL Draft.
You are Locked On NFL Draft. Your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On NFL Draft. I'm your host, former NFL and NFL defensive back, Eric Crocker. And I want to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Tracy. Hello. And also Rob Ring, because it's Thursday, so it's Rob Ring Day. No article, so we are going to touch on some topics that still pertain to the draft, of course, and we're starting with none other than the injury to Jameson Williams. You know, we didn't make as big a deal of it because, you know, we talked about the game and some things that stood out to us about that. Then we got into a mock draft, but his draft stock might be affected by the injury, and the results are in. It's a torn ACL for the guy. All right, so Rob, how may this affect the draft stock of a guy who transferred in from Ohio State? You know, he was a freshman there. He spent 2 years there. He had 15 combined catches the first 2 years. Goes to Alabama and has a 1,500-yard season, was extremely explosive, his highest yard per catch throughout his tenure in college, almost 20 yards per catch, 15 touchdowns, and boom, in the blink of an eye, an ACL. How's that going to affect his draft stock?
Well, I think that's absolutely going to put it up in question. I mean, we've been talking about it all season long, gentlemen, that this is a wide receiver class that is very much lacking a number one guy. And I thought that Jameson Williams had proven himself to potentially be that guy. But, you know, that horrific knee injury now is going to very much throw that into question. I think that it was basically a foregone conclusion that Jameson Williams was going to be jumping into the 2022 NFL draft. Now there's going to be some thought that maybe he's going to want to wind up returning back to school. I don't know. I still think that this is a guy who is so gifted. The ACL surgeries and recoveries are, you know, what they are at this point. Players typically return and, you know, in many cases, even better than before, because they truly dedicate themselves to it. So, but it definitely does take a player that was viewed as one of the relatively sure things, despite the lack of statistics earlier in his career at Ohio State, as you just mentioned, Eric. But now it very much throws that up in the air. And so to me, it's one of the arguments that the players have been saying now for a couple of years. Why should we compete in these bowl games? Because all we're doing is putting ourselves up for injury. And unfortunately for Jameson Williams, that's exactly what happened.
For me, it comes down to that question. I agree. I had him and Wilson there kind of fighting it out as I went through watching games. I wanted to see, I thought this was a potential for him to step out with a big game and claim that number one spot. I look at it personally, that road, yes, it's a short in terms of span of games that you can take away from that. But I personally feel like I don't know what else I need to see from him in order to complete now the evaluation that puts him on a roster. So if he's asking me, I'd be advising him to continue through the draft and take that. Would you guys feel the same? Like, Croc, what would you do? What would you be telling him if he's asking you for your advice?
Yeah, I would tell him to come out. You know, even if you say, well, I'm not going to enter the draft because maybe I dropped down because of the injury. Teams are going to look at it. You know, everybody knows what this is. You're coming off an ACL. That's a 6 to 9 month recovery time. And that's not even to be 100% of who you were before. So how high is a team going to take him? Now, we've seen the other guys in this similar situation, and they still kind of get drafted relatively high. But if you do feel like, hey, I could be potentially a top 10 guy or a top 15 guy. I'm not sure exactly how high people think he's going to go. We'll find out a little bit more throughout the draft process. Then maybe you don't go back to Alabama, but maybe you just say, you know what? I'm going to spend this entire year recovering, training, getting back more to, 100%. and then potentially enter the draft the following year. But there's also the element of being on an NFL team and getting all of those resources and being with a professional staff that might be intriguing, but is it intriguing enough to kind of maybe fall in the draft a little bit and cost you some money?
Well, and that to me is one of the things that I immediately thought of is it kind of, you know, and it's, you know, far be it from me to compare a wide receiver to a defensive tackle like Jeffrey Simmons. But, you know, we saw him suffer a horrific injury, you know, during his combine preparation a couple of years ago. Tennessee Titans still invested a first round selection in him. And I thought that Simmons was one of the true Pro Bowl snubs this past year. He was absolutely spectacular for Tennessee. One of the reasons why they have the number one seed in the AFC was his stellar play on the inside. I think there's a lot of savvy teams out there, guys, who are going to see if Jameson Williams is available. Yes, he is obviously very likely not to be available early in the 2022 NFL season, but he also is likely to be able to recover and be able to be a little bit of a sleeper candidate. Certainly a guy who you know, might wind up playing much better than where he ultimately falls on draft day. So yeah, I would agree with Eric there. I think that, you know, if I was advising him at this point, and again, I am far from a medical expert, but just knowing what a fantastic talent he proved himself to be against the elite competition of his career, I still think in this year's draft class, it still makes an awful lot of sense to be able to make yourself eligible, still get drafted, if not in the first round, then probably early in the second round, yeah, and still wind up having this spectacular NFL season, NFL career.
Now, well, if you look at it from a GM's perspective, they're going to mess around and he's going to go to a playoff team if that's the way it happens, right? Because I see him dropping into the bottom third of the round, right? I still think he goes in the first, but somebody's going to be really happy that they not only got a prime star deep threat, but they made the playoffs in that same season. That's going to be a great combination. I'm interested to see who it becomes.
Now, he also had his counterpart, his receiver, John Metchie. He tore his ACL as well. And I don't know if it's something with Georgia because both guys tore the ACL playing against that team. But, you know, he too maybe doesn't have the draft stock of Jameson Williams. But, you know, I thought he'd be a day two guy. And maybe an early day two guy, second round, somebody looking for a slot that has the ability to still stretch the field. Metchie, would you advise him to maybe go back? Because, again, if he was a day two guy, you know, before the injury, where is he going to be after? Not really being able to show, like, hey, I do have this prolific speed that teams are going to be looking for, coveting, because he can't run.
That's a little bit more of a difficult conversation, in my opinion. Now, you know, with Metchie, I believe that he was a senior this year, I believe. And so, you know, I don't know what type of eligibility that he would have remaining. That's something, of course, the NCAA granting players an extra year. That's something that they would have to consider. But at the same time, with Jameson Williams, I mean, this is a guy who not only timed well, you can see it on the field. I agree with what Ryan said before. I think that there are some teams in the late portion of the first round are kind of licking their chops. And we're going to be talking about the Philadelphia Eagles in a couple of moments with three draft picks. I know that they've invested a lot of draft capital in receivers here in recent years, but my goodness, Jameson Williams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers being another one, Philadelphia's opponent this weekend, that have got to just be licking their chops at the possibility of getting a receiver like that. John Metchie, I think, is a really good football player. I don't know that he's the elite athlete. And so to me, I'd be a little bit more reserved about that. I personally would have him more in the middle rounds rather than as a possible top 50 selection.
Real quick, Rob, I want to ask you, can the Bucs have two guys coming back coming off of an ACL? Because if you draft Jameson Williams, you know, they also had Chris Godwin. You know, he's out for the year as well.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that would be one heck of a roll of the dice. But when you got Tom Brady, you know, you got Bruce Arians, and the general manager, Jason Light, I don't think that he gets enough credit for just his basically anticipating what's going on. I mean, I just think look at last year. With their decision to select Joe Tryon, you know, a pretty raw pass rusher from the University of Washington, but you paired him with that really talented defensive line that Tampa Bay already had. It was basically like just kind of doubling down on the position. To me, that's what this would be similar to. is that Tampa Bay would recognize that, hey, we've got wide receivers who have talent. Obviously, besides Godwin, you have Mike Evans, who's an absolute superstar. You've seen some flashes of some of the other receivers on Tampa Bay's roster already. But at the same time, again, I just think that Jameson Williams, he starts to fall too far down the board than some savvy general manager. And it's going to have to be a general manager who has some support from the owner as well. You can't be investing a first-round pick in a guy who's going to miss at least half of the season, likely with an injury. You know, there's a lot of general managers out there that don't have that type of confidence. But when you're wearing a Super Bowl ring, it's a lot easier to do that.
And we'll see if Tampa Bay is the one that actually wins the Super Bowl right now. But first, maybe you can bet on if Tampa's going to win the Super Bowl by going to onlinegambling.com. And, you know, we are always looking for an edge these days to make our bets. And I'd like to thank onlinegambling.com for sponsoring today's podcast. And if you don't know already, onlinegambling.com is a website dedicated to giving bettors the edge. Throughout the playoffs, they are providing you with the best NFL tips, news, and more to help you make the best bets and as informed as ever. The experts at onlinegambling.com have set a challenge of putting my own knowledge to the test and coming up with my early Super Bowl predictions to see how much of an expert I am. And right now, early on, I had the Cowboys and the Chiefs. Not sure if I can still take the Cowboys right now. Conflict of interest. But we'll be keeping a close eye on all the predictions as the playoffs continue. And if you are placing any bets during the playoffs, make sure you go over to onlinegambling.com before you do. Onlinegambling.com, again, it gives you the bettors the edge by providing the best and most trusted experience all day, every day. That includes their OG tips section and where you'll find their own Super Bowl picks, as well as the inside track of how to beat the odds throughout the NFL playoffs. So go ahead, make a visit right now to onlinegambling.com/NFL for all the latest gambling news, tips, and info to beat the odds and give you the edge throughout the playoffs. Remember, onlinegambling.com/NFL to make the most of your new year this playoffs. All right, y'all, let's talk about it. You got Matt Corral. Right, we just talked about the receivers and those guys suffering the injury. Matt Corral, his doesn't seem to be as serious. All right, Rob Rank, tell us a little bit about what you are hearing about Matt Corral's injury, injury that he suffered playing in a bowl game.
Yeah, it looked really scary. You know, he suffered a right ankle injury, and then you saw him get carted off the field, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is exactly why every college football player who is projected to be an early draft pick is, you know, increasingly choosing to opt out and not play in these types of games. Fortunately, Matt Corral, it appears, is just a high right ankle sprain. It should not limit his ability to be able to throw the football at the combine should he want to. Ole Miss's pro day as well. I am interested because high ankle sprains can be one of those nagging type of injuries. And one of the things that you're most excited about with Corral is just his athletic ability, his straight line speed, his wiggle besides the big arm. But at the same time, no one is going to be drafting a quarterback as early as I think Corral is going to go, very likely early in the first round, because he's a runner. They want to see what he can do as far as a thrower. They want to get him up on the grease board and see what he is able to articulate as far as can he read defenses and things like that. I mean, you know, Ole Miss basically ran an RPO type of an offense. And so does he have the mental aptitude to be able to come into the NFL and be successful? I'm really intrigued by him. I think of all of the quarterbacks in this class, guys, that he has as high of an upside as anybody, perhaps with a little bit of a tip of the cap to Liberty's Malik Willis. I just think that he is that type of an athlete. But at the same time, to me, he is still a very raw quarterback. And one of the reasons why I do not love this quarterback class, I've been kind of talking about that all year long. I think that this is a quarterback class that is very much a kind of a boom or a bust group of players.
It's funny because I had him up towards the top in the top three of this class, and I thought maybe this injury would then put a tamper on it and see if teams are going to back off of the artificial elevation of this quarterback class. For all the things that you said, obviously Willis is raw as well. Ritter has some accuracy issues. There's all kinds of things, right? But with this not being a significant issue, I feel like that lets the brakes off, and we're going to see these guys rise like we do every year, warranted or not. Do you think that allows him to stay in the, in say the top 10 picks? Did you have him there in the first place, Rob?
I do think that there's a chance that he goes in the top 10 picks because, as you just said, you know, it's, there is that, that artificial escalation of quarterbacks, you know, and we just see a lot of very desperate football teams, the Denver Broncos, the Carolina Panthers, again, those Philadelphia Eagles we talked about before. You know, there could be a team out there who's willing to roll the dice. At the same time, I just see a quarterback who is still very rough around the edges, and you would want to have a veteran quarterback ahead of him to be able to kind of help him polish his game a little bit. So, yeah, from an NFL perspective, you know, just looking at it, I really think that Matt Corral is the kind of guy who has that type of talent to warrant it. But at the same time, he's not a real big guy. Again, the transition he's going to have to make from the college offense that he ran to what he's going to see in the NFL, to me, is a little bit too rich for my blood. I have him more in that 20th kind of ranking in terms of just pure talent. But at the same time, those NFL teams that are absolutely desperate for a quarterback, I don't know if there's a quarterback in this draft class who has the higher upside, as I mentioned before. Obviously, with Liberty in that Malik Willis going up against the SEC competition that Matt Corral has faced, you know, that's all the reason why I think that Matt Corral is going to wind up being, if not the very first quarterback to come off the board, I think it's going to be very much a battle between he and Pitt's Kenny Pickett. But at the same time, there's no question about it. Matt Corral has the more intriguing physical tools, and that's what it all comes down to at the NFL draft, guys. I've been doing it for 20 years. Typically, the guy with the higher upside winds up being the quarterback who gets drafted earlier.
Well, there is a team that we're going to talk about next up that potentially might be in the conversation for a quarterback. I definitely want to get Rob Rang's thoughts on that. But first, I want to talk to all you draft Knicks out there about this app. And it's an incredible app that you should have if you buy gas, which most of us do. It's called Get Upside. And our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time that they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or in your Google Play Store right now and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. I mean, that's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at a pump ever again. Get cash back by using Get Upside and just download the app right now to get the cash back on your first full tank. The, you know, some people that drive a whole lot. Again, I live in a small town of 10,000 people. I ain't driving a whole lot. But people that drive a lot more than I do, they're making up to $200-$300 a month cash back. And the cash, it gets added right to your bank account. You can cash out at any time from your bank account, your PayPal, your e-gift card, or Amazon by just downloading the app right now for free. Get Upside app. Use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. And do that right now. But also, go ahead or head over right now to BetOnline. And BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new year and a happy new betting year as well as they continue to march towards these NFL playoffs that start this weekend. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all sports wagering action in 2022. All right, new year and new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, baseball, boxing, UFC, you name it, all the way down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of this amazing offer that's available throughout the year 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. That's BetOnline, where the games start. So, the Philadelphia Eagles, I think they're going to have this big kind of cloud over this organization. They have several first-round picks, three first-round picks. But do they have their franchise quarterback? We'll just start there. We'll get into the picks. But, Ryan, I want to start with you. Do you believe that Jalen Hurts, and obviously we'll know a little bit more after this weekend, but is he the guy for the job for the long haul for those Philadelphia Eagles?
I think it still remains to be seen. I think he's earned himself another look. That's the way I like it. I thought that it was rough early. I thought you saw them come together. I think he and Sirianni kind of figured a couple things out about each other down the stretch. I think there was enough upside to say in a class that we all feel is not the strongest, is it worth doing everything to do, you know, the supportive medicine to help the quarterback and then see where you're at the next year, the year after that, whatever. That's kind of where I lean. I'm a little bit more, if you got the guy in the room and you want to trust him, then go for it and then see what happens. I might be alone though.
Oh, I have to kind of agree with you there. I think with the three first round selections that Howie Roseman, the general manager of Philadelphia, has at his disposal this year, guys, then I think that he's kind of in a perfect position to be able to see if one of those quarterbacks just kind of happens to fall into his lap. Now, as it stands right now, the Philadelphia Eagles are assured of having the number 15 overall selection from the Miami Dolphins, the number 16 overall selection from the Indianapolis Colts. And as Ryan just kind of mentioned, Eric as well, Philadelphia has their own draft pick that's still yet to be determined. It is projected to probably be 19th or 20th if they lose to the defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course, led by Tom Brady. But, you know, Jalen Hurts is a pretty dynamic athlete himself, still a young quarterback, has all the intangibles that you're looking for at that quarterback position. We talked about Matt Corral previously. You know, he is also a dual threat quarterback, not quite as athletic, of course, as Jalen Hurts, but still, to me, that'd be kind of an intriguing match. And again, with having three first round selections at your disposal, to me, it makes all the sense in the world for the Philadelphia Eagles to use one of them on the quarterback position if they do, in fact, feel that Jalen Hurts is not for sure, the guy moving forward.
I think this is the wrong year to have all that draft capital and not be able to trade up for that guy, right? You know, the 49ers, they gave up three first-round picks or utilized three first-round picks to trade up and get, you know, a guy, Trey Lance. And if that's what it costs to move up a bunch of picks to potentially get a franchise guy, well, the Eagles have that type of firepower right now, but there's not that quarterback if they were in the market for a quarterback. Aside from quarterback, is there a position that kind of stands out to you about, you know, that the Eagles maybe need to address? I keep going to the edge position because, you know, I look at Brandon Graham, him going down, and he's been a good football player for the Eagles for a long time now. But with his injury and his age, it's kind of getting up there. I would think that edge rusher would be a position that they may be looking forward to drafting. And there's a guy right now, Trevon Walker, just watching him for Georgia, you know, being able to rush off that edge, the speed that he has. Do you think maybe he can be somewhat of an option for the Philadelphia Eagles in that range?
I think that it could be. That's one of the things that I would 100% agree with you, Eric, that I think that defensive end is one of the bigger concerns for the Eagles. Whether it be Brandon Graham, Derek Barnett, I believe, is a free agent as well. Two really good football players, but at the same time, do you really want to give them that second, or in the case of Graham, third big NFL contract? Why not go younger and cheaper? This is a good edge rushing class. And so, again, I think that with the three draft picks, unless you are going to make some big type of move all the way up to the top of the draft, then why not just pick off some of the biggest areas of concern? Again, edge rusher to me is one of them. I also think that cornerback is still an area of concern, as we've talked about. I think that this cornerback class, guys, is just so spectacular that even though Philadelphia has used an awful lot of draft capital on cornerbacks in the past years and had some notable busts as well, at the same time, to me, this is one of those positions that you have to kind of consider. Again, defensive end probably being the biggest priority of that club, for that club.
Ryan, I want to ask you. Oh, go ahead. Well, I just want to ask you that, you know, the cornerback position, if there is a cornerback in that range, I know I'm kind of the residential cornerback guy, but is there a corner you think in that area may fit what they want to do or just be a terrific just prospect athlete to be able to add to that cornerback room?
I would never tread on your position specificity, my friend, but I will tell you this. I think, honestly, if you're looking and that's your top priority, I think they're going to have a number of guys they're going to like on their list. I would sit tight and wait for 15. I'd trade back out of that 16, pick up an additional pick. You got work to do. So I think another third, I think that helps them a lot. But I will say this too, as it comes to the edge, yes, it's a good class. Yes, it's deep. but there's really only two guys. You have three first round picks. If you're serious about the quarterback being in place, do you package two, maybe three of those and go up and get Thibodeau or Lord forbid you try to go up to number one, but like there's options here for them. If that's their point of view that they have to go get somebody, I think they can get all the way up into the top five this year if they need to.
And I actually like that you brought that up because you look at the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, they don't really need edge, right? You know, they have Chase on. I know they moved him to kind of this off-ball linebacker type position, but you know, he was an edge rusher at LSU. They have Josh Allen. You really need to figure out a way to protect your quarterback. Could there be a scenario where, and I know that's moving back a lot, but to really be able to kind of build around your young quarterback and give him all the pieces, because they're not just a offensive lineman away or just, you know, an edge rusher or just a cornerback away. I mean, they need O-line. They need to figure out the weapons. I know a lot of people are complaining right now or right before the season ended. I mean, I was looking at some games and Tavon Austin was their leading receiver. And I know they lost DJ Chark along the way, and I know they drafted Chenault, and I know there was Marvin Jones, but those guys, they're just not doing it. So how do you fix that situation? Maybe trading back there. Again, that's moving far back when you have the number one overall pick, but maybe they can get even more than just those three picks, but really help throw some resources at that team and build around your young stud quarterback. Ryan, Rob, you think there's any chance of that?
I think that there has to be some chance of that because I 100% agree with you guys that the Jacksonville Jaguars need more than one body. And obviously, with number one overall selection, they're going to be able to take whoever they want. But at the same time, I don't know that that number one overall pick, just like we saw a year ago with the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, that's just too much pressure to put on any one player to completely turn around that franchise. And going back to the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, sure, if they are able to make a big trade up for a guy like Thibodeau, for a guy like Aiden Hutchinson, I have them standing pat right now. And perhaps being able to get Aiden Hutchinson's teammate, David Ojabo, who, again, to me, is the type of edge rusher that I think would really be intriguing with Philadelphia. You still would have Fletcher Cox on the inside. You still have a pretty talented defense overall around him. Ojabo, to me, has a superior upside. And so he would warrant a selection like, say, number 15 overall. So to me, that's one of the fun things about this year's draft class, guys, is that I think that there's a lot of people out there who are just kind of blasting it, saying, oh, it's not that good. BS. I think it's a very good draft class. It just isn't elite at the quarterback position. And so I think that a savvy general manager like a Howie Roseman should be able to take full advantage of this draft class and really be able to boost up his team. But again, most importantly, they have to feel confident about the quarterback position. If they don't feel confident about that spot, then they do have to perhaps move up or trade those picks for a veteran. I think you're going to see a lot of movement at the quarterback position this year in terms of veterans. The Eagles have the draft capital to be able to pull off one of the splashier moves in the offseason this year.
Man, there are a few teams that have picks, multiple picks in the first round, the Jets, the Giants, and the Philadelphia Eagles. They might be the most polarizing one because of where they stand and how they potentially address that quarterback position. What's it going to be? We'll know more after this weekend. And y'all will know more after listening to us throughout this offseason, throughout this draft season, figuring out what's going to fit for these teams as we get into more prospects. But from Eric Crocker, from Ryan Tracy, and Rob Rang, we appreciate you guys for making us your first listen of the day. But that's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On NFL Draft. We will see y'all next time. Peace.